Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 105.
Hello, and welcome to Straight and Curly. This is the first episode in a new season, so like we always do, we're going to have a quick catch-up. So, Kel, what have you been up to?
Pretty boring stuff, really. I wish I had something exciting to say, but no, mostly work and staying just one step ahead of the giant tsunami that is my current workload. But, you know, it's fine. It's all good work and work I'm enjoying. It's just, yeah, and it's a little bit more under control than it was last time we spoke. But I do have an exciting and fun thing going on in my life, and that is the picture book that I've been working on with Jaden, my son. It's nearly finished. It's really exciting. And I had a bit of a crisis because I started reading like how to write a picture book stuff. And it was like, make sure there's a beginning, middle and end, like make sure it has a 3-part story structure, which duh, of course it should have. And then I was reading the picture book and I'm like, oh my God, this book just has a middle. It has no start or end. And I was getting all frantic and I crafted out this really long, elaborate, like set up to the middle, and then thankfully sanity prevailed and I got a friend to hook me up with someone who'd help her with her picture book, and that person gave me some very great feedback and also kind of said, oh, you know, this is good, I like it, it's quite funny. I was like, well, that's good. So yes, I'm super excited, and it's like my fun project for the year, and I'm having fun with it, so it's good.
That's awesome. I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah. So what about you, Carl? What have you been up to?
Look, I really wish that I had something super exciting happening, but I just don't. Like, and I keep saying, oh, you know, life's really boring. And then like anytime Ben and I catch up with friends, they'll be like, how's things? And I'm like, oh, boring. And Ben's like, can you stop saying boring? He said, our life is lovely. Like, it's just, it's really nice and drama free. And, yeah, you know, like work's going really well for both of us and things are going really well. So I'm trying to stop saying boring because it's just, boring's not the right word. It's just kind of fuss-free and good. Everything's really good.
Smooth is the word.
Yes, everything's very smooth. But yeah, I had a boss ladies catch up yesterday. I'm part of a mastermind with a few other businesswomen, and they're next level business women. Like, they just earn shit tons of money and they're just like these incredibly intelligent, feisty women. And Kate from Secret Bloggers Business, it's not Secret Bloggers Business anymore, it's changed to Boss Squad, so she focuses more on businesses now, and these are like a mastermind group that she's a part of, that she invited me to be a part of. And it, like, several times a year we just catch up and we just do hot seats. So there were six of us on Monday, and each of us got a chance to say what the problem is in our business. And then you've got these five incredibly intelligent women who workshop it for you and work it all out. So I did that yesterday. So I'm feeling really fresh and invigorated and just like ready to kick ass and do things.
How good is that? I love those kind of groups. It's so hard to put them together because you've got to have like just the right mix of people. But when you find that right mix of people, oh, so good. You just don't let them go. So that's
I'm awesome. Also thrilled that, like, because I've been a mentor for bloggers before, and I've been in a few groups where this is going to sound really conceited, where I've been the smartest one in the group. And it's really lovely. I think you need to have several groups where, you know, one where you're the leader and one where you're at the very, very bottom of the pack, because it's just, you always have so much more to learn, and you should always be surrounding yourself with people who know more than you. So I love putting myself in front of people who make me feel like there's more that I can do.
Yeah, agree, totally. So what about our review of the week?
Review of the week comes from Rashida T, and she says it's an unmissable podcast. She says, I started listening to Kelly and Carly a few months ago, and it's quickly become a podcast I turn to first. The tips are fantastic and doable, and it's given me clarity on a few life issues I've been having. Plus, it feels like I've known them for ages. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Oh, I love that. Thanks so much, Rashida. So I had to include your review because we did meet in person at CopyCon a few months ago, and it's always nice to meet listeners in real life, but it's also really weird for me because, you know, in my head and despite all evidence to the contrary, I kind of feel like no one really listens. Like, we just do this for a catch up.
we just record our phone conversation?
That's what I feel like. It's just an excuse for us to chat, and we record it and put it out there for everyone to listen to. But anyway, that, folks, is a little preview of today's topic, which is imposter syndrome. But first, it is time for Carly's random thing of the week.
Yeah. I've actually got three random things this week because they're really small and they weren't kind of like, you know, crazy enough to warrant a whole section. So the first thing is that I was watching a documentary on celebrities that have died, and the original drummer of the Rolling Stones died kind of in the last couple of weeks, but no one really knows who he is. And the reason why is because he got kicked out of the Rolling Stones in the 70s for severe alcoholism. And so they said this in the thing, and I was like, hang on a minute. I was like, how much of an alcoholic do you have to be to get kicked out of a rock band in the 70s? Like, that's practically a prerequisite. I was like, how did this, like, how, I mean, I was just shocked. I was kind of going, so I Googled it, and apparently it was really bad. He was basically just asleep constantly. Oh. But I was like, wow. I was like, that's actually a thing that can happen.
That's so
My second random thing is that I found out that Alsatians and German Shepherds are actually the same breed of dog, which I didn't know.
Like the same?
Alsatians and German Shepherds are the same dog.
They're just the same dog but called different names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Apparently Alsatians is a UK term, and it came about when Germany was bad and during the war, and things that were German weren't good.
Well, there you go. I did not know that. But I do think Alsatians is much cooler than German Shepherds. Just sorry. Yeah.
It's a cooler word. Yeah. And my other third random thing, which is very fun, is that I'm pregnant. I'm being serious. That's a real thing.
Sorry. I'm just – my
reaction. That's awesome.
I can't speak because my mouth is open and I can't shut it, and I'm also crying. Oh my god.
I've been dying to tell you for so long, like so freaking long, and you're really gonna hate me, but we're going to have to put this episode at the end. Like, we can't publish it like next week, but it's getting to the ridiculous point where I couldn't not tell you anymore.
Oh my god! Okay, this is your payback for that time in like the 100th episode or something when I had like that really deep and meaningful, and then you had to talk about IKEA things.
I was like, right? IKEA pegboards.
Because where do we go from here? Like, how do we? Even
I know,
do this?
Right? We don't have to talk about it or anything, but I was like, I wanted to tell you like on air because I thought that would be amazing. So I would have told you heaps earlier because I'm actually 16 weeks, so I'm quite far along.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Okay, we will talk about this off air, and I will kill you for speaking this to me on air. And
I've actually had like heaps of I've told like family and friends ages ago, obviously. But they were just like, oh, have you told Kelly? I'm like, no, I'm going to tell Kelly like on air, like when we're on the show, because it'll just be so awesome. And then so everyone's been like, have you recorded it with Kelly yet? And I'm like, no, I'm doing it. Because we had the break. And then I also wanted to time it up with the time when I was happy for like other people to know and like our listeners to know. So like the timing of it's been really, really hard. But yeah. Oh my God, I feel so much better now that you know.
I recorded
the whole last season without telling you. You didn't know the whole last season, and I knew.
Oh, Carls, I'm so stoked for you. That's amazing, amazing. You're gonna be the most amazing mom. Oh,
fingers crossed.
And Ben's going to be an amazing dad as well. Ben, you're going to be a great dad.
He's very excited. And I do need to tell everyone that, yes, it was planned, because a lot of people have assumed it wasn't planned because we weren't talking about trying, which is apparently quite unusual. So there's been a lot of shock and a lot of did you mean to do this kind of reactions. Very planned, very wanted, and it's all going very well and everything's exciting. So,
My God, the grief's going to have a meltdown. This is amazing. Okay. All right.
All right. Deep breath. Moving right along.
So, recommendation of the week.
Now we have to try to move on.
Okay. So the recommendation of the week is Just a reminder about the Straight and Curly book club. Somebody reminded me in the group this week to please talk about it because, yeah, it's very remiss.
I suck at that. I'm really bad at talking about it because I skipped one of the books. And then if you skip the book, you're done. Like you can't really there's not really much point.
You're the worst. No. So we have been remiss in not giving it a constant plug on the show. And it really interesting, the discussion about Mark Manson's book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F, was so interesting to me because not one single person in the group enjoyed it. And, you know.
No.
And I think it was so interesting because, you know, everybody in there is, you know, high functioning. We're all dedicated self-improvers, but we're self-improvers from, you know, a place of abundance, not scarcity. And I just found it so interesting that no one liked the book. And I didn't like the book either, but I thought it was because I had already read every single thing he had ever written. And I thought, oh, well, there's nothing new in here for me, so blah. But now I need to go back and read it kind of like with fresh eyes because a few people mentioned things. I was like, huh, I never picked that up and I need to go back. So anyway, that's why you need to be in the Straight and Curly Book Club group because we have interesting conversations like that. So the book for next month is Bored and Brilliant by Manoush Zomorodi from the Note to Self podcast.
Oh, I love her.
She's amazing.
I also just love saying her name, Manoush. Like it just feels so nice in your mouth.
And she just has like, I just love listening to her talk. I don't know. She just, I think it's the accent and the way that she
speaks. The same with Phoebe Judge from Criminal. She's got the juiciest voice. It's just, it's pornographic. I love it.
We should send her a message going, do you know your voice is pornographic?
We should,
But anyway, so July, the book that we're reading in July to talk about in August, I think that's the plan, is, Bored and Brilliant. And a big shout out and thank you to Lauren and Rosanna for driving the conversation in the group. So just to find it, just search Straight and Curly Book Club on Facebook and ask to be let in. And there'll be a question that you have to answer to be let in and make sure you answer the question. Otherwise, we kind of go nuts. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and sorry, that's the same with the Straight and Curly group. If you try to join the group and we don't let you in, it's because you didn't answer the questions. If you don't answer the questions, we're just like, well, you don't care. So
they're really, really easy questions. It's like, where did you hear about the podcast, I think? And I can't remember what the other one was.
Yeah.
But yeah, just answer the questions.
Why did you want to join the group or something? Yeah, just answer the questions, guys, for real.
Okay. Carl, what's your recommendation of the week?
My recommendation for this week is the Hannah Gadsby comedy special Nanette Netflix.
Everybody is talking about it. I'm setting myself up to watch it. Like I'm getting a night where Ant and I can sit down because everybody is talking about this. So yes, continue.
It's amazing. So I've actually seen Hannah Gadsby live in Melbourne before and she's such an unbelievable presenter and her comedy's always been really funny but always incredibly political and incredibly thought-provoking and very TED Talk-y.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of, excellent anecdotes and it makes you think about things in a different way that you didn't think about them before. And again, like so many people on Facebook were popping up and saying how amazing it was and it actually just really was incredible. So I watched it last night and it keeps coming back to me today. Like every time my brain relaxes, something will pop into my head. And she has just this incredible face that is just so expressive and so captivating. And her face keeps popping into my head. It's unbelievable. It just keeps coming back to me. It's really funny, but it's also a really important thing to watch. It's made me think a lot about the damage that can be done by steeping horror in humor, which is the thing that Hannah has built her career around, and now she's trying to fix that. And that actually, it touched me particularly because I'm an extremely self-deprecating person, and I constantly use humor to get my point across because it often softens the blow of a really serious topic. But sometimes I think topics need to be serious, and it's I'm not going to change the way I present things, but I do think that there is a lot of stuff that is presented in a funny way that actually probably shouldn't be, and you should have to look at the horror of a situation in order to really understand it.
Yeah.
And that was the point that she was trying to get across in it. And she didn't tell any new stories, but she told them in a different way. And they've stayed with me. And the whole point of that was like, I've changed the way that I've told you this story now, and now you're going to remember it. And I have. So it's unbelievably powerful. And, it's extraordinary to watch as a comedy piece, but also as a very excellent modern thought piece. So recommend it highly to everyone.
Yeah. It's on my list. No, I'm going to watch it this week because, yeah, I've just Do heard it. Everything about it. Everyone's just said it.
Take a break from rewatching Suits.
Season 8 starting soon and, ooh. Oh. And Mike's gone and Rachel's – oops, gosh, a spoiler. Okay, sorry, guys.
Isn't Rachel Meghan Markle?
Yes. Well, everyone, I guess –
I think it's pretty obvious that she's gone. I don't think that was a very big spoiler, Kelly.
Okay. Because I was just like, I can't believe I just did that to all the dedicated Suits watchers out there. Oh, okay. Next 7 is If You Were Our Best Friend. And Beth, which is her real name, because she said we could use it, says, hey, Carly and Kelly, longtime listener and huge fan of the show. Thank you, Beth. And yes, I did leave that in there deliberately. I'm writing to ask about what to do when you struggle to support a friend's decisions. For example, my best friend for many years has discovered her boyfriend has been cheating on her for 3 years of their relationship, and she continues to stay with him even though she initially wanted to leave him. I've been nothing much supportive of her as I believe I will alienate her if I get mad at her decision. He is totally manipulative and controlling though, so I feel it's not a great situation. There's probably nothing I can do but wait it out, right? Thanks in advance.
Ooh. So I thought this one was really hard, and I think a lot of the issues with this come from people being really scared to be alone and preferring to be in a toxic partnership than being single. I'm reading between the lines here, and it sounds like this relationship might be emotionally abusive simply because I can't imagine a genuinely good guy having an affair for 3 years and then somehow convincing his partner to stay with him. That's not something that good men do. I think being supportive to her is obviously a really good start. I think also never badmouth him, no matter how much you want to. That's really, really important because it will get her on the defensive. And also if he is being emotionally abusive, which like I'm probably putting words in her mouth and he may not be, but it sounds like it's not a very good relationship. That will get back to him and he will be able to turn her against you very, very quickly. Yeah. So make sure that you are very, very guarded with what you say about him. Calling out bad behavior is fine, but make sure you say things like what he did to you was not okay rather than he's a cheating, lying bastard. So there are ways that you can phrase that so it doesn't sound
like – speak to the behavior, like not the person.
Exactly, yeah. And I also think that another thing that you need to do is work on her self-worth and confidence. So every time you're with her, point out her excellent qualities constantly. I doubt that she's getting any of that from him, and it's confidence that's actually going to help her leave, not scaremongering or like him finally being awful enough to make her leave. So just subtly help her build her strength and confidence, and eventually she'll be strong enough to leave him on her own terms. And it'll be because she's a badass, not because it just got too much for her. And certainly not because you were the one that said he was a toxic asshole.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And I too found this really hard. And I actually Googled how to help a friend in a toxic relationship because I've never had this experience myself. And also I do think, you know, you've got to be careful of the advice we give. And the first thing that Google told me was important was what Carly said, was ensure your friend doesn't feel judged or criticized, as this will alienate her from you and make her feel like she can't come to you, which you obviously don't want. It's better that she does feel safe talking to you but doesn't feel judged. And then the other thing, as Carly said, is encourage her to do the things that boost her self-worth. And I really like what you said, Carl's, about it's confidence that's going to help her leave, because I do think that's true. So, you know, you can encourage her to try something new with you, like take an art class or, you know, go on a big hike. And, you know, if she asks you directly about something, be honest. But as we said, talk to the behavior. Don't kind of attack him personally. If you have any experience with toxic relationships yourself, you can share those experiences with us, so speak to your own experiences. But ultimately, obviously, and you, I think you already picked up on this, is that you just need to unconditionally support your friend, because, you know, if she feels judged, this is just going to make it so much easier for him to be controlling and manipulative, and then she's never going to get out of that relationship. So that was really, really hard.
It was really hard. And in my experience, toxic relationships don't last. I can't think of a single relationship I've been unhappy about that has not ended eventually.
And it does end up being up to the person who's not the toxic one to have the confidence to leave and be sure enough in themselves that they're worth more than what they're experiencing currently.
That's something that friends can do. You can build people up so that they know that they're worthy of more. And you can do that so subtly. But also don't do it subtly. Like, just tell your friends how fabulous they are and what they deserve. Don't be like, you deserve better. But, you know, just things like, oh, you know, you're such a good listener, or, you know, you're so kind for cooking me dinner, or, you know, I really like being around you because it makes me feel really good about myself. All of that really positive stuff. And even for your friends who aren't in toxic relationships, just say all the lovely things to friends all the time, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Okay, so I just had this moment where I'm just like, you sound so lovely and nurturing, Carls. Is it because you have a baby in your belly? And then I was like, have you had morning sickness? And I'm like, we can't be having this conversation in the middle of a podcast, so I'll save all these things for after the show.
I'm so mean for doing it right at the beginning of the show. I should have done it at the end, yeah. So that you could have been like, yep, okay, we're going to go now, bye.
I was just like a goldfish. Like, my mouth was just opening and closing, but no sound was coming out because it was so left field. Because, yeah, you hadn't mentioned that you were trying. I knew it was something that was possibly on your radar, but you had never made like a big, like, I'm desperate to have a baby one day
thing. No.
So it was, yeah. Okay. So, topic of the week is imposter syndrome and fear of failure. And Emily asked, how do you handle failure and not let fear of it ruin your life by stopping you doing everything, or even fear of perceived failure, i.e. failure that's not real? She said, I also have a huge problem with feeling like an imposter at all the stuff I attempt to do. So we'll start with the imposter syndrome bit. And Carls, what is imposter syndrome?
So this comes from Psychology Today. The telltale sign of imposter syndrome is a disconnect between perceived and actual performance. So imposters have ample objective evidence that they are doing well in the form of good performance reports, promotion history, grades, etc. Yet they feel that somehow they've been faking it or skating along on thin ice. So any minute now, they're going to be unmasked and revealed to be a fraud. One striking characteristic of the syndrome is that although imposters crave acknowledgement and praise for their accomplishments, they do not feel comfortable when they receive it. Instead, praise makes them feel anxious because they secretly feel they don't deserve it. And after all, they think, I'm just faking it, unlike everyone else here who seems to know what they're doing. It's also very much an internalized thing. So imposters seem and usually are very capable and confident, but they're constantly second guessing themselves and worrying about being exposed.
Yeah. So that's a great summary of imposter syndrome. I Googled, like, where does this come from? Like, you know, why do we even get this? And, you know, they have done studies on it. And one study discovered that paternal overprotection and lack of paternal care led to a greater likelihood of developing it. Another study suggested that having non-supportive friends was found to be associated with greater incidence of imposter syndrome in both men and women. But realistically, I don't know anybody who doesn't suffer from imposter syndrome. And
I'm exactly the same.
And you know what? I kind of think only sociopaths don't get it, because
totally. It's like a Trump thing. Like, there's no way that he has imposter syndrome. It's just like when you have people that are just way too confident and think they deserve it, you kind of go, what's wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy to, I mean, I obviously don't think it's so healthy to the point where it hinders your ability to do anything well. But I think that you should constantly be checking yourself and being like, you know, why am I here? Why did this happen? And, you know, not necessarily questioning your own success, but always double checking that you are doing the best that you can possibly be doing.
Yeah. It's kind of like the whole, things are never as bad as they seem, but they're never as good as they seem either. So like, you know, kind of don't believe, you know, the press, all the press that's written about you, but also don't doubt that you, you know, you've done something cool as well. And it's, I don't think anyone has it nailed. And I think all the most successful people in the world, and I know people at all levels, to a man and woman, all of them doubt themselves and all of them are secretly fearful of being discovered one day. So I think that's the other thing, is if you meet a lot of people who, you know, you might look up to, I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of people who I look up to and who I modeled myself on, and then, you know, you get in conversations with them and you find they're just as riddled with self-doubt as the next person, and they're just as riddled with imposter syndrome as the next person, and they're still waiting to be found out. Maya Angelou said the same, you know, she said the same thing, you know, I'm still waiting to be found out. So I think it's, take comfort from the fact that everyone feels like that. But also understand who's most likely to suffer from it, mostly high achievers. And according to studies, both men and women, I was kind of like, surely women suffer from this more, like men are more delusional.
That's what I thought too.
But
yeah.
No, apparently men and women suffer from it, equally, but they respond to it quite differently. So,
okay. Yeah,
so they did a study and it seemed that women who scored high on measures of anxiety and imposter syndrome, they worked harder and competed harder to kind of prove themselves, whereas men who scored high, on the other hand, they avoided situations where their perceived weaknesses could be exposed. So that might be where the difference lies. It's not that the, you know, both genders get it, but we respond.
It's the reaction that's different.
We respond to it different. And I can see why women just work harder, because we're used to being doubted. But we won't go there today.
Another point that I wanted to add to that bit was that in Australia, we have huge issues with tall poppy syndrome. So culturally, we're also encouraged to play down our achievements and pretend that a lot of what we do comes down to luck. I don't think there's any real solution to this, but I think I just know we've brought this up a few times, and I hope that the Americans don't take this the wrong way. Well, it's actually a compliment, because I've spent a lot of time in America, and success is celebrated in a way in America that it's not celebrated in Australia. When people do good things, people go, yay, that's excellent, you did a good thing. And the person who did the good thing goes, aren't I great? I did a good thing. In Australia, we just downplay everything. We downplay other people's success. We downplay our own success. And if someone looks like they're big noting their success too much, they get chopped down immediately. So yeah, I couldn't find any research on this, but I was looking for it. But I do wonder if imposter syndrome is a bigger issue in Australia than it is in other countries because of the tall poppy syndrome thing.
Yeah, I would be interested to hear people in the group comment on that, whether you know, just people from other countries, not Australia, although I suspect the British are probably a bit like us as well.
Very similar, yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested to hear whether our American or North American friends are less likely to suffer from this.
Oh, actually, on that note, someone commented in the Facebook group, I can't pronounce her name properly. I think it's like Anat or
Anat Eri
or something. Yeah, yeah. She wrote that, because I keep talking about this news agency job that I had in high school, and she wrote that she imagines that it was like me working in a Mad Men office, like I was like an Elizabeth Moss when I was 17, which is so cool. I really don't want to correct that assumption of me. But yeah, a news agency in Australia is basically like a shop where you buy a newspaper. I wasn't a child savant, you know, Rupert Murdoch at the age of 16. But do please keep thinking of me in that way if you would like to.
Oh, hilarious. So as you mentioned, imposter syndrome itself is not inherently bad, and we realistically all suffer from it. But the only time it becomes a problem is if it, you know, stops you from taking forward movement, or it's, you know, stops you from doing things because you're so caught up waiting to get found out. So how do we overcome imposter syndrome? So my first tip is to keep a smile file. You know, so when people say nice things about you, if they send you a nice email, file it away. Don't just go, oh, thanks very much, and then delete it. Like, keep them and refer back to them whenever you start feeling a bit like, oh, I think I might be getting a bit ahead of myself, or I'm not as good as I think I am. refer to your smile file.
The second tip we have is to believe people when they tell you that you're great. So accept the compliment. This is another thing Australians really suck at. Like, I know I'm giving Australians a bad rap this episode, but I am Australian, so I can. We're very bad at receiving compliments. I had a friend the other day tell me how good I looked in jeans, and I was like, nah, it's just these jeans. And she's like, no, they look really, really good. And I was like, nah. And she's like, you've got a full-on thigh gap. And I'm like, shut up. And she was just hammering. She's like, take a freaking compliment. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, then maybe I don't look terrible in jeans. And there you go. I can't even say I look good in jeans. I had to.
Thank you.
I know. Thank you. You are so very correct. Like, it's such a non-Australian thing.
Yeah,
but
hammered into us to rebuff compliments and to go, oh no, that's
and be faux humble.
But, you know, it's Ben's legs in these jeans. You know, that's why it looks so great. My next tip is to not compare yourself to like the greatest expert in your industry and, you know, decide like if I'm not as good as them, then I'm no good. Like, do you know more than the person that you're talking to or that you're helping? Then that's great. You don't have to feel like you're an imposter. You know, so it's like I'm a designer, a graphic designer. I'm not the world's greatest graphic designer, but if someone comes to me and asks me to design a flyer for them, I'm going to do a better job than they can in, you know, what's the Microsoft thing? Publisher or something where you
sound like a great designer, Kelly.
Do people even use that anymore? They probably use Canva or something these days.
Do you mean Paint? Is it Microsoft Paint?
Well, I think people used to do flyers and things in Publisher, which is just the most horrendous program of all time for designing. But I can do a better job than Paint and Publisher, and I can even do a better job than Canva. Therefore, I'm a good enough designer and I shouldn't feel like, oh no, that was so easy. You know, just as you say, take the compliment. Next one.
Number four is embrace it. So people who don't suffer from imposter syndrome aren't confident. They're delusional. If you're not questioning your success and why you deserve it, then like it's so hard to phrase this without kind of encouraging people to have imposter syndrome. But I think a little bit of humility and humble pie is good for everyone. I don't necessarily think anyone should be, you know, wandering around being like, oh, I'm the greatest person in the entire world. I think a little bit of confidence every now and then is very, very good. But it stops you, because if you do truly think you're the best person in the world, that stops you from achieving.
And growing as a person, because we should never stop growing as a person. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you understand that no one really knows what they're doing? Like, literally no one. Like I said earlier, I've met so many people who I have admired from afar, and I had put them on a bit of a pedestal, and I thought they were most, you know, amazing at whatever it was I admired them for. And then I met them in real life and not only realized they were as riddled with self-doubt as I am, but, you know, they don't think they know what they're doing either. Like, they're kind of making it up as they go along as well. And I really think that's what you realize kind of when you hit your 40s, people. That's the point where you realize, oh my God, like, literally everybody in the world is making shit up as they go along. No one really knows what they're doing. And that's very comforting once you hit that point. So, yeah.
So number six is to reframe your thinking from why me to why not me. And this idea came from Mindy Kaling, and I adore her. I think she's just fabulous. And she is a self-proclaimed chubby Indian girl. And she said, why shouldn't I be a successful actress and screenwriter? And it's so true. And she talks constantly about how she never saw anyone who looked like her on TV when she was little, and she would have loved that. And her whole thing was like, well, I'm going to be that person. And she's dead right. Like, she's a not particularly thin woman of color. And it's like she's publicly said, this is not me saying this, she's said this herself, that she had so many like crosses against her own success, and she's nailed it. And she's had so much imposter syndrome of being like, why should it be me? And she's like, well, why shouldn't it be me? Like, you know, she's like, I'm smart, I'm funny, I know what I'm doing, I'm gorgeous as well. Like, everything she says just, I think, is so empowering and so wonderful, particularly for, you know, a woman, who is a minority, and, particularly on screen, because I would love to be able to list off a whole list of people who are like me, Mindy Kaling. She's the only one I can think of, which sucks because she's such a gift and such a blessing to screenwriting and acting in America. And I'm just like, we need more people like that. And if people let imposter syndrome get in the way, then we get deprived of the excellence of people like Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, and we, and everything becomes very homogenous, and it's already pretty homogenous. Yeah. So are fear of failure and imposter syndrome the same thing? So yes and no. Yes, they're the same thing if your fear of failure is really the fear of being found out. But no, if your fear of failure is more about, you know, perfectionism and a propensity to set ridiculously high standards for yourself, you know, or the feeling that others have ridiculously high expectations of you. So the way I approach failure myself, I don't have a huge fear of failure, mostly because I have a huge love of certainty, and that overrides everything for me. So I would much rather try, fail, and learn something and know something for sure than never try and be uncertain about it. So that might be a good way of, if you have a fear of failure, that might be a good way to approach it. Like go, I'm not trying this to achieve anything. I'm trying this to be certain about something. And that might be a way. Carls, do you have a
good- I love that. I pretty much wrote the exact same thing as you. I was like, I have a solid fear of failure just because I like to be good at things, but it never actually stops me from doing anything because I really like learning and I like adjusting and trying new things. And that's the same thing. I enjoy having knowledge. And another thing is that I'm extraordinarily FOMO. I really don't like missing out on things. So a lot of people are like, I don't dance because it embarrasses me. I don't care if I look stupid. Like, I would rather be involved and have fun than sit on the sidelines and not be involved in the stuff that's happening. So I never worry about, because that fear of missing out and of spending my life on the sidelines overrides my fear of looking stupid or my fear of failing or my fear of screwing something up. But I also think that, like, I think everyone has a fear of failure because failure sucks and no one likes it. But I think that that's why Kelly and I do this podcast, because we're constantly self-improving and seeing what works. And we're constantly having to override our fear of failure to do that. But the reason why we do that is because just, yeah, the knowing is so much more fun.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, is find the thing that you desperately want that overrides that fear of failure. So for Carly, it's FOMO, like can't handle missing out. For me, it is certainty. I really do like my certainty. Yes. So on to the next segment. And what kicked our ass? Oh, no, so kicked ass. We'll start with kicked ass. So I think it might have been the last episode or the one before. And if you remember, I said I turned down a really lucrative writing job because I just
knew. And I nearly had a heart attack.
Yes. Well, and I said I was fairly certain something would come that would fill its place and I'd be okay. And sure enough, I did secure two new jobs. And I'm just saying this more for Carly's benefit than anyone else. I got two new jobs, infinitely easier, same money. So guys, go with your gut. If something is telling you don't do this, trust your gut and trust that by turning something away, something better will turn up to fill its place, because it certainly has for me. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm so pleased. So, yeah, my kicked ass this week has been I did some serious planning this week because I'm going to be very busy in December. So I've already scheduled lots of Smaggle content and Crochet Coach content for that time. And so, you know, planning is a massive luxury in my business. So I was pleased I was able to carve out some time to kind of prepare for that. So I did a lot of that this week, which was good.
Nice. That's so cool. okay. Kicked our ass. I had a cold last week and I'm so over, like, it literally, it was just a cold, it wasn't a flu, and I'm just so over how long they last. Like, they always last a solid week. I can't exercise, I can't talk, I can't hear, because my ears get exercise locked up. So should I get the flu shot? Is it too late?
Yes. It may possibly be too late. It depends. I think the timing is state specific. Okay. So I know that they were encouraging later flu shots in Canberra and earlier ones in Victoria. And definitely get the flu shot. So, Victoria and Canberra actually ran out this year, which is just completely crazy. I think the reason why is because they finally allowed pharmacies to do it.
Yes.
So they allowed pharmacies. Pharmacies have been doing it for a while, but they allowed pharmacies to advertise it this year. So it's $25 and you just go to a Priceline. I'm not sponsored by Priceline. This is just where I happen to go to get it. And they're really easy, no fuss. It takes 15 minutes. So I've had the quad strain for 4 years in a row and I haven't had so much as a runny nose. And I mean, that's my test group of two. So that's Ben and I, but it's been amazing. I will just keep doing it. It's very, very good. And it's also a very good community service for people who are unable to have flu shots and who need to be protected by herd immunity. The herd immunity only works if most of the herd is immune.
Good point. Good point.
So yeah, it kicked my ass this week. I've been having some quite severe digestive issues in the last couple of months. A lot of bloating, a lot of burping. So it's not been amazing. You asked before if I had morning sickness. I have had the easiest pregnancy in the history of the world.
That's awesome. It's basically
like I'm not even pregnant. I'm just some regular chick who hasn't had a period since March. But I have been burping uncontrollably and it's like it's deep guttural from the pits of hell in my intestines.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but the visual I'm getting.
It's hilarious. Like he can just hear me from like two doors away and he just laughs because it's so funny. But I've been taking – my doctor recommended me taking Eno, which is like that – you know how old ladies always have it? Like my grandma's always got it, the like lemon fizzy drink thing. So I've been having that and that has been – an absolute lifesaver. So that's been really good for the last couple of days at least. And then I don't have to be a disgusting burp machine all the time. So yeah, that's about it. It's time to wrap up. On that note, after we've just spoken about Carly's horrific belching. So don't forget that we do have a Patreon page, which is live and kicking. So we've got a couple of goals for our Patreon page. The first is to reach $500 per month of pledges. And we're halfway there, which is amazing. We've had quite a few new pledges come in the last week. And I would love to mention who they are, but I just realized, seriously, this is the first time I realized this. They show you all the pledges every month. So I think I've been repeating the same people again and not repeating the new people because it's the whole system is very strange. But if you have pledged and I haven't mentioned you, I'm sorry. I had a very bad system. I'm going to try and figure out a new system. But to those of you that have pledged in the last week, thank you so much. Even just most people pledge $4, which is like the cost of a coffee. And that's for a month. And that's just such a big help for us. And it helps us cover the costs of our podcast.
Yes.
Oh, and if you would like to support us, go to patreon.com/straightandcurly.
Indeed. And yes, finally, jump into the Facebook group discussion for this week and do tell us this. Do you get imposter syndrome? I'm pretty sure you do. And how do you manage it so it doesn't stop you from achieving the things you want to? Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.